We have a county ordinance against panhandling, and we enforce it aggressively. And that's why you don't see people on the street corners here. We do have them. They're transient. They'll come through, and they'll stand on a corner and with a sign, and one of our citizens will call. We'll respond out there, and we don't arrest them on the first time. We say, look, you're in Santa Rosa County. We have an ordinance against this. If you continue to do it, you will be arrested. And then they go elsewhere. I think it's just common sense that if you have a law and you enforce it, you know, vigorously, people are going to start obeying it.
So that was Sheriff Bob Johnson. We spoke with him yesterday. This is following up on a conversation we had on Friday on The Wrap with Mike Kimbrell, who is a local homeless advocate and runs the Washburn Center and the Satoshi Forest. And the question was, you know, why are there so many corner panhandlers basically at every intersection in Escambia County and the city of Pensacola that you can think of? And when you go into Santa Rosa County, you just don't see this. You don't see it in Milton, you don't see it in Gulf Breeze, you don't see it in Navarre, and you don't see it anywhere else in the county. Why? And so I had asked, you know, Michael Kimbrell had said he thought that it was a difference in enforcement in that county versus in Escambia. And Bob Johnson, of course, you heard him there say that they've got an ordinance and they enforce it and that works. And I've read the ordinance, and the short version of it is that the Santa Rosa ordinance requires you to have a solicitation permit, which costs you about $1 a day, but you got to pass a background check. If you fail the background check, you don't get the permit. And then it bans everything, including sidewalks, meetings, which Escambia's does as well. But so the question I have for Sheriff Chip Simmons, we'll talk about this with him in just a second, is, you know, is this an enforcement issue? Is it a resources issue? Is it a, well, our law is not adequate and should be changed? Is their law problematic and maybe unconstitutional? You know, what's the explanation? I just always like, you know, can we learn something here that can maybe make our situation better? Sheriff Chip Simmons is the sheriff of Escambia County. Sheriff, welcome back, as always, to the Pensacola Morning News.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Good. Good to have you. So welcome to the big setup.
Pep club.
Yeah, right. So you heard what Sheriff Johnson said and kind of my short version explanation of it. But what's going on here? What do you want to say about all this?
Well, you know, I don't usually discuss other jurisdictions' ordinances, and I have not studied their ordinances. I can tell you that the ordinances that we have currently in Escambia County are similar to ones throughout the state of Florida, and they are, as I understand it, all under constitutional challenge. We're not aware of any ordinance in the state of Florida that you can just prohibit panhandling from a sidewalk.
So even
the
Escambia's
sidewalk
is
a public forum.
I'm sorry, Escambia's is under
Escambia's
challenge
is,
right
yes,
now?
Is
okay.
In fact, my legal team and the county's own legal team feel there are some problems with the ordinance, and they're based on, this constitutional challenge.
Got it. Okay.
I will tell you that if there was an ordinance that we could enforce, we would certainly enforce it. That would make my life a lot easier. We're working with the county. I've been talking with some of the commissioners about maybe strengthening some of our ordinances within these constitutional guidelines.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is a sidewalk, county property is the people's property. And these are locations where you have the First Amendment right of speech. And holding a sign is a right, is a figure of speech. And so we are not aware, again, of any ordinance throughout the state of Florida that will prohibit panhandling. If it's content-based.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Where it's just, you can't do it, but you can do it. Those are problematic for us. And again, I think that if someone were to say that we're just not enforcing an ordinance, the only reason we would not enforce an ordinance is because it's unconstitutional. And it would cause the taxpayers of Escambia County lawsuit after lawsuit after lawsuit.
So let me kind of walk through that just a little bit, kind of checkmark some things. So it's not a lack of will to reduce panhandling as a bother, nuisance, whatever, if it were possible to do so, you would enforce an ordinance that was constitutional.
That's correct.
It's not a lack of resources. You have enough manpower that if you had an ordinance that you could enforce, you would enforce it.
That is correct.
Okay. And it's, as far as you know, not a defect in the Escambia County ordinance. In fact, if any, it's not that the Escambia County ordinance is not robust enough. If anything, the Escambia County ordinance itself has some constitutional flaws, and because of what's going on with the lawsuits and other things, may have to be weakened is the word I would use, but I don't know if you love that term. But even the Escambia County ordinance, less robust than the Santa Rosa one, is not probably constitutional as it stands.
Well, I'm not looked at the Santa Rosa County ordinance.
Okay.
I'm just telling you that I am not aware nor is my legal team. And all of our all the conversations that my legal team has had with legal counsels throughout the state of Florida, and really throughout the Southeast and probably the whole country, we have scoured looking for ordinances that would say you can't panhandle at the on the sidewalk. You can't do this. I believe the city of Pensacola is doing the same thing, and they're struggling to find a constitutional ordinance, just like we are. And I'm just saying I am not aware of an ordinance that will allow that you can create to say you can't panhandle.
So there's no magic. There's no magic ordinance that.
I would imagine there would be communities all over the state and all over the country that would have that, and that would be a quick and easy fix. But if you look around at what's going on in the state of Florida, I think that you'll see that there's panhandling in areas that are fighting that same type of a constitutional challenge. Mm-hmm. And I again. I'm not aware of an ordinance that allows us to do that. And our own ordinance does not allow us to do that.
The one part of theirs that seemed different was the requirement for the solicitation permit that you then have to go through a background check in order to get. And if you don't pass the background check, then you don't qualify for a permit to do any kind of solicitation. But there are some exceptions to that, like political canvassing, delivery of newspapers, delivery of food services, and charitable donations. So, that seemed to be what made their ordinance more robust. Is that scheme problematic, or does that? I don't know how to make sense of kind of what he's telling me and what you're telling me. I'm trying to figure out.
I'm not a lawyer.
Sure.
All I can tell you is what my legal staff tells us, and if it were that simple, then we would have that ordinance.
Okay. Okay. Well, fair enough. So it sounds like, maybe Santa Rosa needs to look at their ordinance or the courts need to make
a
clear ruling.
I'm not judging their ordinance.
Right, right.
And I hope that...
But the short takeaway is it's not a lack of will, nor is it a lack of willingness to enforce.
It's a lack of a constitutionally strong...
Valid.
Invalid ordinance. It is not the fact that we don't have an ordinance that that we can enforce.
Okay, and as you say, the city of Pensacola has been struggling with the same exact. Okay, no, that's fair. That really helps. We'll come back to Sheriff Chip Simmons here in just a second. Candy's got traffic on. I was really hoping that maybe all we needed to do was pass the Santa Rosa law in Escambia County. I mean, that's what I was hoping that was. Naive though I am. All right, Candy's got traffic on the 5.
Sounds like you're trying to start a fight. Blue Angel.
I'm trying to solve a problem.
Okay.
And,
No.
Go ahead.
As far as going on to Pensacola NAS, the front gate is a little backed up past sunset this morning. Blue Angel and Gulf Beach Highway showing an accident, but not a roadblock this morning. Gulf Beach Highway and Navy Boulevard, there is a roadblock in that area. So use caution there, and that might tie in with the front gate. Maybe that's why stuff is backed up quite a ways. But you can see the roadblock there. If you see an accident or a slowdown, you have a traffic tip, text it in, 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to Sheriff Chip Simmons. We don't get to say this an awful lot, but I think other than some fairly proactive things, there hasn't been a major incident. Been relatively quiet in terms of big newsworthy bad things. The things that have mostly happened is you had, not your choice, but the state attorney upgraded the charges in the Luna Lane shooting.
Right.
And that's not you guys. That's the state attorney's office.
Yeah, I'm not aware if they did or not.
Yeah, okay.
That's their prerogative. Yeah.
And then you got this big drug and money bust, which is a guy had a lot of money, a bunch of marijuana, and some other things, right?
Yeah, we were working with Baldwin County Sheriff's Office, and they had some information, and we worked with them. We ended up doing a couple of search warrants for some storage units, and we seized 191 pounds of marijuana, 14 grams of fentanyl. What the recent trend is to mix fentanyl with marijuana and mix fentanyl with a number of different things. We've made some seizures over the past couple of months that that has that element into it.
So even I just want to make sure people heard that. I had heard this from other sources, but I don't think I'd ever heard you say it, that you are in fact finding on the street marijuana laced with fentanyl.
That's correct.
Ugh.
A lot of times they'll do marijuana, they'll lace it with a number of different things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what we think is going on here. The total amount, we seized 191 pounds, as I mentioned, plus 14 grams of fentanyl. The total amount was 221 pounds of marijuana and over $100,000 cash when you combine the Baldwin County seizures with the Escambia County seizures. So, yeah, that's a lot of dope that's taken off the streets, and the suspects will be charged here as well as in Baldwin County.
Did you say they were in a storage shed?
They were in two storage sheds.
Well, no, it's just stupid. It's stupid anyway, but my gosh, man.
Well, you know, where don't you look, you know? And
well, that makes sense.
You know, just as long as you
underneath
pay your monthly bill, right?
Books and the
that's right. And,
I
you know,
suppose they didn't want to have it in
Grandpa's
their own
stamp
home.
Collection.
Right.
Wanted to
well,
use a storage
I hear it now.
Well, there's storage buildings all over the place. They're popping
right.
up everywhere.
I hadn't noticed. There's you people say there's people storage. Building storage facilities yeah. in Escambia County. Interesting. I'll have to check into that. The last, well, two things, actually. One is you guys have now started, pardon me if I'm late to the story, but you guys have now started the mental health co-responder unit, which had I think is already kind of in place in Pensacola, but you guys are adding this now as well. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, we got a grant about a year ago for this co-responder unit. What we were wanting to do is to combine that with our own mental health unit. We have, again, probably 2-3 years ago, we started a mental health unit, and it would have two components. One was an internal component where we could provide services, mental health services to our own employees.
Right.
The external component, we thought, let's look for a grant and see if there might be something we can get. Well, we were awarded a $550,000 grant for 3 years, and it is a co-responder model. It is a sworn deputy with a mental health clinician from the Lakeview Center. So we partnered with them to get the grant, and now the first 109,000 or a little over 100,000 dropped or became available to us, and now we're starting to get the deputies that are interested in this type of program.
So, okay, I'm going to make a terrible comparison, but I just want to make sure I understand how the program works. I'm thinking of like canine units, where most deputies don't have a canine, but then you have special canine units that ride with the deputy,
right.
And this would be like a mental health would ride with the deputy so that you'd have this one mental health responder available on a shift. Is that kind of the idea?
Yeah, the plan is to have three different units, and each unit will have one deputy and one mental health clinician.
Got it.
That will go out there. Now, their schedule will be flexible, so again,
when they're available kind of thing. Okay,
We've just to give you an idea of the number of mental health complaints we have over 700 Baker wrecks this year alone.
Wow.
So that's not counting the ones that we go to, mental health complaints that we go to that aren't resulting in a Baker wreck. So we're going to have, probably around January, we'll start to put them on the street. We'll have a deputy with a clinician, and if a call comes out that's mental health related, then that unit will go instead of a patrol deputy. So this will theoretically free up the patrol deputy to answer 911 calls and other calls for service. We think that this will provide the best service for those with a specific need. It'll give us a chance to spend a little more time with the individuals that might have a mental health concern. And also, we'll get to know these individuals. And again, having the clinician with us is basically the gold standard to where we're going to go with law enforcement in the future.
And it sounds like, I mean, if 700 Baker Acts, you got to figure at least that many that don't wind up being a Baker Act, and probably right. more than that. So you're starting to talk about 4 or 5 incidents a day.
Oh, easy. Yes.
Okay.
Easy.
Okay. So that's really a lot. It sounds like you're going to need more than just, you know, the one or the couple. So, mm-hmm. but it's a great start. I love it. And of course we have kickball coming up a week from Saturday at Wahoo Stadium where
we get to
play some kickball, have some fun and have a good time. And everybody's going to be sore the day or two after. For a week after.
Again, I jokingly, talk about it and talk about me, stretching more than I play because I don't need to pull any muscles
right.
out there. But yeah, our second annual Battle of Pensacola is going to be not this Saturday, but next Saturday at Wahoo Stadium. Gates will open more or less at 8:00. The game will start at 9:00. And then we have a little bit of a surprise, that we'll be announcing here shortly at the end of that game.
Look at you building the drama.
Yeah, it's just, I wouldn't expect the president to be here. I'm just telling you, it's a bit of a surprise. But it's pretty good. You've seen the list. If you haven't, you can go on our foundation page, Escambia County Sheriff Foundation page. They talk about Team A and Team B, and then we spun the wheel to decide who's on what team. And I think you're on Team A,
I believe, yeah.
Are you guys
on the
same team?
I'm on Team B.
No.
Cool.
I think
not there.
The way the wheel spins.
So like last year.
My big takeaway from this, though, is Sheriff Chip Simmons could not confirm that President Biden would not be playing in the game a week from Saturday.
I can confirm he's not going to play in the game.
Oh, well, see, we were trying to build some drama there. All right. Sheriff Chip Simmons, always a pleasure, sir. Thank you so much for the time. We'll talk to you again next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.
754 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.